Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Okay, so there's a story of a young Hindu boy. He undertakes two journeys. The first journey is a search for God. He becomes a Christian. Then he becomes a Muslim. And then he decides that he's all three. He's a Hindu, Christian, Muslim. The second journey is a 227-day trip in the ocean as he drifts in a lifeboat with a zebra, a hyena, an orangutan, and a Bengal tiger named Richard Parker, as of course all Bengal tigers are called, names like that. That is the storyline of Jan Martel's Booker Prize-winning novel, The Life of Pi. It's recently been re-released, so it's timely to talk to our literary critic, Cara Martin, about it. Hello, Cara.
Greetings, Sheridan.
You probably read this years ago when it first came out, didn't you?
Well, yes.
Of course, and it took you all of 2.5 hours.
No, it's a wonderful book. It's one of my favourite books.
Yeah,
it's
I actually picked it up at the market just last weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested for you to tell me what I'm in for. It's made a big splash. It was released, 2002, and it's hundreds of thousands of copies, probably even more than that now, around the world, now being released in a nice animated version and all of that kind of stuff. But everybody says it's a book that's very hard to categorise.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's such a bizarre story, I guess. I mean, it's sort of a thriller in a way because you don't know what's going to happen at the end of this journey. Yet at the beginning, there are hints, so you know the guy probably survives, but how is it going to work out? Mm. So it's really hard. There's no romance in it. There's a bit of comedy, but it's sort of incidental. So it's not sort of average sort of story. It's really hard to put in its place.
Because the basic storyline is that he is on a plane, or is it on a boat, and he's heading to
cargo.
Canada?
Yeah, that's right. What happens is he's son of a zookeeper. The Pi in the title is Pi, a 16-year-old boy. Son of a zookeeper. His father decides he wants to sell the zoo in India. He wants to move to Canada. They sell off the animals to the highest bidders in America, but they travel with the animals to deliver them and then go off to Canada. So they're on this Japanese cargo ship, terrible storm, shipwreck. The only human survivor is Pi, and he ends up on this boat.
With these animals,
yes. And the orangutan is seasick. You forgot to mention that. But the animals eventually sort themselves out. And so in the end, it's just Pi and this tiger. And Pi realises that if he's going to survive, he has to set up this relationship with the tiger, which is a zookeeper-zoo-animal relationship. He has to make the tiger dependent on him, or else, obviously, he will become food for the tiger. Mm.
Why has the tiger got a name like Richard Parker? Do you ever find that out, or is that giving away too much detail?
Well, it's just one of those, like, really cute things, I think, in the book. There's a lot of little cute details like that, and that's, I guess, the comedy that comes out. It's not a comedy that's really forced. It's more a comedy that just flows from the characters.
Okay. There's a few different kind of broad themes from my research of the book that we can kind of cover as we're exploring the book. I guess we'll start with the easiest first, is the quality of the writing. I mean, this is you don't win a Booker Prize if it is lousy writing.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you're thinking about the context, how do you write? More than half the book is about Pi and a tiger on this 9-meter lifeboat floating in the ocean. Like, how can you keep the reader engrossed in that? So the way that Jan Martel does it is through detailed research. So, you know, I'm happy to say, having read the book, that I'm fairly confident I could survive a shipwreck. well, probably not. But, I mean, he goes into amazing detail about how to catch a sea turtle, how to strip its shell off, how to drink its blood, how to survive. And that's the level of research is applied to everything. So it's applied in the early part of the book to being in the zoo and looking after animals, which of course becomes essential later on when he's on this boat trying to keep up the zookeeper relationship. And it's also in terms of the faiths that he follows. So Jan Martel actually read all the foundational texts of Hinduism, of Christianity, of Islam, so that he could really understand those faiths as much as possible.
And yet did he. We'll get that to that in just a second. And then there's this the idea of story. You know, that story is actually a paradigm to understand our whole lives, this kind of important role of story in life.
Absolutely. And And there's story operates on so many different levels within this. I mean, there's this the story of that he's at, you find out as you're going along that he's actually telling the story of his survival to Japanese people who have been sent to try and find out why the cargo ship got shipwrecked. So he's telling this story to two impassive gentlemen who are very suspicious. They're incredulous. And at the end of the book, you know, they say this is too fantastic to believe. And so he tells them another story, another version, as it were. And then he tells them they have to choose which story. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, he also says, when they say, well, we didn't like that second story, so we'll go with the first story. That's a much more beautiful story. He says this cryptic thing about, well, that's what God is like too. So he's really saying that, belief in God is like the story that we choose to believe as well. That gets us through life.
Okay, which leads to the third idea, which is postmodernism, and in particular postmodern belief, you know, where you kind of pick and choose bits and pieces, which I guess is reflected in the fact that this guy becomes a Hindu, Christian, Muslim as he, you know, explores each faith and just kind of tags on a little bit more and a little bit more.
Yeah, but he seems really, he's really investigating them. So he has a pandit who teaches him Hindu, he has an imam who's teaching him Muslim, and he has this priest who's teaching him about Christianity. And each of those three are actually horrified when they find out he's actually following all three at the same time. And they say to him, you've got to choose. You can't do this. And he tells each of them, well, I'm going to love God. And then they're each appeased because they each think, well, he will choose Hinduism or he will choose Christianity or he will choose Islam because he wants to love God and know God. But what he means by that is that he sort of feels there's a bit of truth in each of them and he's going to take the bits of God that he sees in each of them and love that part.
which is an interesting concept given the fact that, you know, we have got mutually exclusive, you know, claims in each one of those religions.
And I think, I think that comes through a little bit in the horror of the pandit and the imam and the priest. But by the end of the story, I guess you're willing to go with Pi's God, although we never really find out that much.
Well, I was going to ask
who
you.
It is.
Because if he feels that, yes, he can actually love God by holding to three religions, which are actually very mutually exclusive in terms of beliefs about God, about how to relate to him or whatever.
And that would be my problem with it. I mean, Pi's relationship with God is beautiful. Like he prays every day on this boat. He prays actually five times a day, as you'd imagine a good Muslim would. But he believes that if God is with him, he will not die, and that's the thing that sustains him. And he lives in gratitude to God for everything that comes along. So when the sea turtle comes along, he thanks God for the gift of that sea turtle. And even though he's suffering, even though he's going through hard times, he describes this. He's struggling to believe in God because of that, a bit like what we've been talking about tonight. But he talks about finding within that struggle a letting go, a deep trust, a free act of love. But he knows that it's hard to love in the circumstance. But then he feels that in the midst of that, God comes to him. God is a shining light in his heart that sustains him. So that relationship is really beautiful. But I guess the hard thing is that he's removed God out of the context of religion. That, yes, because those religions are exclusive, ultimately there is a story that he has to believe, the whole story, not just the parts of the story. You have to take the whole story within the context, within the detail. And I would say that, in fact, the story that comes through strongest, but perhaps that's because I'm most familiar with it, is the Christ story. So there are myths that are interwoven that are actually biblical stories of Jonah and Daniel that you recognise and you pick up. There's lots of little sort of allegories that are in there.
Which goes to the intricacy of the writing again, doesn't it?
And then there's Pi's suffering himself, and then, you know, his rescue is almost like a resurrection. So there's almost a Christ type story that comes through in Pi himself and how he survives, how he gets through this.
So a beautiful story,
Yes.
Don't get your spiritual truth out of it. Because really, I mean, I guess if we kind of take that approach, we almost bow to a God of our own making, don't we? You take a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of that.
Yeah. Yes. On the other hand, it's always dangerous. I don't think Jan Martel ever set this up as necessarily. He talks about it as, if you read this story, you'll believe in God.
Yeah.
You'll believe there is a God.
Yes.
I don't think he's trying to tell the reader who to believe
which
in
God?
As such.
Right, yeah.
So there is that danger.
Is that opening the door, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So, I mean, on that if you think of it that way, then actually this is a book that has possibilities.
Mm, mm. Mm. Okay, well, the book is Jan Martel's Life of Pi. 2002 it was first released, become something of an instant classic, and now is being re-released again. Okay, thank you, Cara.
Thank you, Sharon.
Written version of Cara's review of Life of Pi up at the openhouse.net.au blog site by the end of the night.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.